Proverbs 20 verse 6 says this: many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find? When the Bible speaks about faithfulness, it's describing a person who says what they mean and then who does what they say. It's a combination, therefore, of truth and integrity. And when you see that in someone else, it is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It is a wonderful thing. Sadly, though, we live in a world where faithfulness is a bit of a rarity. We may demand it from our politicians, we may rely on it from our spouses, but time and time again, we're let down. Think of the political scandals that frequently hit our headlines. Think of the number of election promises that are forgotten, or the way that statistics are misused just to make a point. We see that sort of a huge amount, didn't we, in the EU referendum campaign. Time and time again, we see our leaders say one thing and either mean something different or do something different. And of course, it's not just our politicians and our leaders. 2015, there was a survey that said that 36% of adults in the UK were open to having an extramarital affair. 36%! Now, that is both stunning and really sad, desperately sad, but it's backed up by the fact that 40% of marriages end in divorce, with a huge proportion of those breakdowns coming from a lack of faithfulness to the promises that both parties made on their wedding day. And that level of faithlessness is there in our business world as well, isn't it? Last year, you remember, Volkswagen hit the headlines after doctoring all their figures on fuel economy. I hope none of you bought a VW last year on that count. Not so long ago, the sports shoe company New Balance was given a heavy fine for the false claim that wearing their shoes burnt off more calories than wearing other kinds of trainers. How do they get away with that? But they didn't even go as far as the Kashi food company. When they were tested, Kashi company's all-natural products were found to be chock-full of almost entirely synthetic and unnatural processed ingredients. In fact, ingredients that were considered prescribed drugs and federally classified as hazardous substances in the US were found to be the primary ingredients in those natural foods. Now, one of some of you looking a funny colour today. In our leaders, in the business world, and in our own lives, faithlessness is far too endemic, and faithfulness is in short supply. No wonder there is a growing lack of trust amongst people in our society. But when we come to the Bible, we discover that God is faithful. So faithful, in fact, that not one of his promises ever fails. Not one. In fact, God is so faithful that when he speaks, what he says always comes to pass. We see that in creation, don't we? Think back to Genesis chapter 1. God says, let there be light. What happens? There is light. Time and time again. Right through the scriptures, we find that God is totally and utterly faithful. So let's start there. Let's think about God's faithfulness. Over the next 8 weeks or so, the two candidates that are standing for the Conservative Party leadership, and of course as Prime Minister, are going to be making some huge claims about themselves and their visions for the future. And no doubt those who support them will look back at things that they've already done in the past and said in the past, and as evidence that they will be faithful in the new office that they will hold. I guess at the same time, their opponent supporters will be looking for times when they said something but they didn't do it, as evidence that they're not entirely trustworthy. And we've seen some of that already, haven't we? But right at the heart of God's character is faithfulness. You've heard these words from Dan already, but let me read them to you again, the way that Moses hears the name of the Lord as the Lord describes himself to Moses on the mountain in Exodus 34. As the Lord passed in front of Moses, he proclaimed his name, the Lord, the compassionate, gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Right there, alongside God's compassion, his grace and mercy and patience, is his faithfulness. The God of the Bible always says what he means. He is utterly truthful and he does what he says. Utterly reliable. And think for the way we've seen that through the scriptures, the way that the Lord kept his promises to Abraham, Jacob, to Moses, to King David. How all the promises of God about a deliverer were fulfilled in Jesus. So Abraham had a son even in his old age. Jacob's family did go down to Egypt and then 400 plus years later were rescued and brought out into the land God had promised. Remember how the Lord promised to care for his people through the wilderness and then provided them with food and water and quail. Remember the great promises God gave to David that he would always have a descendant on the throne. And then think how many promises of God come true in Jesus. Hundreds of Old Testament promises about the coming Christ were fulfilled in him, from where he was born to the manner of his death. God has proved himself time and time again that he is faithful to his word. And that is great news for us, isn't it? Great news. Because since God has always kept his promises in the past, we can have complete confidence that he will keep his promises to us now and in the future. So the Lord promises to forgive us our sins when we truly repent, 1 John 1 verse 9. He promises that through life we will never be tempted beyond that which we can bear, 1 Corinthians 10:13. He promises that one day Christians will be made perfect like Jesus, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. And he promises eternal life to all who believe. All who believe, John 3:16. Great promises from a faithful God. But just imagine for a moment that God wasn't faithful. Imagine for a moment that what we read in the Bible wasn't true, because it had been pieced together and put together by an advertising company with rather loose morals. It'd be a disaster, wouldn't it? We couldn't have any confidence about what the Bible says about God. We couldn't trust his character. We wouldn't know if his commands were true. And we wouldn't even know if Jesus really did die on the cross and rise again. Without the faithfulness of God's words about himself and all he has done, we would be in the dark. And imagine if God wasn't true to his promises. Imagine if when God said that he would be with us always by his Spirit, what he really meant was he would be with us all the way unless there was a really good football match on TV or a decent movie at the cinema. Imagine for a moment that when God promised to forgive all who truly repented, he meant all those who caught him on a good day, or who were able to make a really substantial contribution to the wealth of the church. Imagine if that's what God meant. Or imagine if God's promises of eternal life to all who believe in Jesus only worked if you died on a Wednesday, and he just hadn't told us. If God wasn't faithful to his word, we would be utterly lost, totally confused, without hope in this broken and faithless world. But praise God, he is faithful. He not only speaks the truth, but his promises always come to pass. He says what he means, and he does what he says, every time, without fail, however costly. That means our faith in the God of the Bible is never, ever misplaced. That means we can take him and his word and rely on him to do just as he has promised. And if God is faithful, of course, that means that we should be faithful too. That's why faithfulness is one of the fruit of the Spirit, because it's part of the character of God. And the Holy Spirit's work in us is to change us and conform us more and more into the character of Jesus. So just as God is faithful, if we're Christians, then we need to be faithful too. Faithful in our dealings with one another, and faithful in our dealings with the Lord. And we'll look at each of those two things in turn. So our own faithfulness then in our dealings with one another. Now, I want to mention three things that I think this implies for us. And the first is that we need to be honest and truthful in the things that we say. You shall not lie. Commandment number 9. And the need for always telling the truth is reinforced by the fact that those on the list in Revelation chapter 21 of those who do not get into the kingdom of God, liars are right there on the list. We might think it's not much of a crime, but it's there. Because it goes against God's character. So how truthful are you? How truthful are you? Are you someone who's content with a little white lie? Are you someone who doesn't worry about bending the truth a little or hiding the whole truth because you're a bit worried about the consequences? Or you don't have the tact to speak the truth with grace and kindness? You see, there is nothing in the Bible which says that white lies are okay, or that there is a level of seriousness after which you have to tell the truth, but below which, well, it really doesn't matter. God is utterly faithful in all he says. He speaks the truth always, and so should we, even when it's costly. So if you're showing a prospective buyer around your house and they ask about the neighbours or the noise from the road, what do you do? Do you say, oh no, they're lovely, when they're not? Do you say, oh, there's never any traffic, except between the hours of... No, if you're a Christian, you need to tell the truth, even if it costs you the sale. If you're at work and something gets missed and it's a disaster and you know that it's your fault, do you keep quiet and hide the truth, hoping that someone else will get the blame, or do you speak up? Well, if you're a Christian, you need to speak up. You need to tell the truth, even if it costs you your career. God's faithfulness means that he is always truthful, and so should we be too. Secondly, we need to be utterly dependable. Utterly dependable. That means if we are Christians, our word should be our bond. And just as the Lord is true to his promises, so we should be true to ours. That, of course, means that we need to be very careful about what we say and what we commit ourselves to. You see, having given our word, we shouldn't say, well, I'll keep that commitment as long as it's convenient. Or as long as I don't get a better offer. Or as long as it doesn't prove too costly. If by the work of the Holy Spirit in us we are growing in faithfulness, then as far as it depends on us, our word needs to be our bond. So for example, if you've agreed to babysit for someone and then you get invited to a party, well, you miss the party. You keep that original commitment, or at very least, you find someone else to take your place who's agreeable to the parents. If you've agreed a sale price on your car and then someone comes along and makes you a better offer, well, as a Christian, your word should be your bond. If it costs you a few quid, then, well, it's hard luck. Truthfulness, reliability, being utterly dependable is more important. And of course, that's true in marriage as well, isn't it? Sometimes after being married for a number of years, it's very easy to start to take your spouse for granted. You stop making the effort to love and cherish each other as you should. So you start to feel distant, maybe a bit neglected. And then maybe a new colleague or a new neighbour comes along and shows a lot of interest in you. You feel a spark of excitement you haven't felt for a long time. Well, what do? Go with your feelings? No, you've given your word already. You made solemn vows to love your spouse through sickness and health, forsaking all others until death do you part. Faithfulness means keeping our vows. God is faithful, utterly dependable, and he expects his children to be faithful as well. And here's the third thing, third aspect of our dealings with one another, and that is this: unswerving loyalty. Now, once again, there are some fairly well-publicised instances of disloyalty around at the moment in both our major parties. But well before Michael Gove did that evil deed, stabbing Boris in the back, disloyalty has been a very common thing. But if we are to grow in faithfulness towards one another, then that means developing an unswerving loyalty to our friends. I'm thinking here about a friendship that lasts through thick and thin, whether they are popular or contented and happy and generous, as well as when their lives fall apart, when they make stupid mistakes, maybe even when they cause great hurt to those around them. See, God is amazingly loyal, amazingly loyal. There are many times in the Bible where God's people as a whole or as individuals he has called run after other gods or ignore his commands. But what we never find is that God suddenly turns his back and says, that's it, done with you, never seen you again. No, God goes out to meet his people. His mercies and love never come to an end. Of course, God doesn't show blind loyalty. He never tells his disobedient people that what they're doing is okay. He doesn't brush their sins under the carpet. Through his prophets, through Jesus, perfectly. God has some very hard and blunt words to say to people who turn their backs on God. But there is always, always a welcome waiting for the repentant sinner. God's love for us never runs out, no matter what we do. And we need to show that kind of unswerving loyalty to our friends as well. I wonder if you've done that. Or if there are friends that you haven't spoken to since their marriage broke up. Or they ended up in prison, or they went bankrupt, or they let you down. Are you an unswervingly loyal friend? Telling the truth, keeping our word, showing unswerving loyalty. That's how we show faithfulness to one another. But as well as being faithful in our dealings with one another, we of course need to be faithful in our dealings with God. Just last week we had a confirmation service at Holy Trinity. This morning over in Gravely we've got a baptism service, rather like the one that many of you will have gone through at some point in your lives. And in both of those services, some really weighty declarations and promises are made. Well, declarations and promises even more serious than those that take place at a wedding day. You see, at a wedding, we make a promise to another person. And that's serious enough. We've seen that already. God expects us to keep our word, even when it is hard and costly. But at a baptism or confirmation service, people make promises and declarations to God. Amongst other things, candidates, parents, godparents will say that they understand and believe the truth about God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, as taught in the Bible and written in the creeds. They'll say that they have turned from their sin and turned to Christ. They'll say that they have taken Jesus as their Lord and their Saviour, and they've rejected the devil and all his works. They will promise, if they're parents and godparents, to bring up their children within the life and family of the church, teaching them about Jesus at home, living a life of discipleship themselves, so that as they grow up, their children can see what it looks like to follow Christ. They are huge promises, massive commitments. And many of you have made them. But so often those making those promises fail to see them through. Now, how can that be? How can we take our own word and our own promises to God so lightly? How dare we make those commitments to God and not make the effort to see them through? See, when we become a Christian, Jesus doesn't just become our Saviour. He becomes our Lord, our Captain, our King. And we need, therefore, to submit to his rightful rule. In the baptism service, we don't stand up and declare that Jesus is now our advisor or our consultant. We stand up and proclaim that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Growing in faithfulness means living up to the promises we have made when we became a Christian. It also means fulfilling our calling, whatever that might mean. If you're someone who's been called to preach the gospel or to be an evangelist or to lead a home group, then you need to do it fearlessly, faithfully, wholeheartedly, preaching, explaining the whole counsel of God. If you feel a calling to show generosity or hospitality, then do it humbly, graciously, not looking for thanks. If you've been called to serve in ways of administration, then do it diligently. Whatever your talents are, we have a responsibility to use them for the good of those around us and for the glory of God. And that applies in our working lives as well. Your calling right now is the job that God has placed you in. And your calling is therefore to work for the glory of God in your workplace. So do it well. Do it to the best of your ability so that God gets the glory. We need to be faithful in our dealings with God. Now, my time's almost up, and it may be that you're feeling rather wretched right now. Maybe because you know you've made promises to people in the past and you've failed to keep them. Maybe because you've made promises to God in the past and you know you haven't lived up to them. Maybe even this week you think, you know what, I've told some lies this week. I've covered up the truth just for an easy life. Or maybe you're just daunted by this whole breadth of faithfulness that we're supposed to grow into and show in our lives. And the prospect of trying to be faithful in a world where faithlessness is so common is just rather daunting. Now, if any of those things are true, then let me leave you with three encouragements to be faithful. Here's the first one. Faithfulness brings a reward. Faithfulness brings a reward. That's the point of that passage from Matthew chapter 25. The faithful servants in that passage are rewarded by their master. I wonder if you notice that. They were invited to come in and share in the joy of their master. Well done, good and faithful servant. And the Bible tells us repeatedly that if we are faithful to God, if we hold on to the gospel, then there is in store for us a reward beyond our imagination. So if you feel weary now, keep going, being faithful. Put your shoulder to the wheel and keep your eyes on the glory to come, because faithfulness brings a reward. And it will prove incredibly worth it. Here's the second thing. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. You've heard that said a number of times through this series. Growing in this way, growing in the fruit of the Spirit, is the work of the Spirit who changes us to be more like Jesus. And that's true here as well. We are not on our own. We do not have to do all this through willpower. The Spirit works in us. Yes, it is sometimes hard. Yes, there is a cost. Yes, there will be temptations along the way. But if we keep faithful to God, keep our eyes on Jesus, stay faithful in prayer, rooted in the Scripture, then the Spirit will grow these things in us. He will. Here's the third thing. Although we fail, God is always faithful. Although we fail, God is always faithful. We started by thinking about God's faithfulness, and we must never forget that, because that is the place where our hope and our comfort is found. You see, we do fail and we do fall, but when we do, we have a God who is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we admit them to him. When life feels like it's falling apart, we have a God who is a rock, whose works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. And when we feel that we can't go on, when we've been as faithful as we can and we are just worn down, we need to remember that we have a Saviour who was faithful and true right through to the end. One who, for the glory set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of God in glory. Because Jesus was faithful to the end, our failures are covered by his faithfulness. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And with the help of the Holy Spirit at work in us, may we grow in faithfulness to the blessing of our families, to the enrichment of our relationships, and to the glory of God. Amen.